We need a work of you, God, that would be worthy, as we sang earlier about revival. We would cry out to you today and say, revive what? God, we ask of you, Jesus, that you would revive us according to your definition as a church. We know that if you do that, then it will be well with our souls. And if we have you do that to us, then the church will become the lighthouse that she's to be, and a beacon of hope to a lost world, and to this lost nation of ours, and that, God, that we would trust in no one or in nothing but you. So, God, be with us in this time, we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You can be seated, everybody. And for those of you, we've been announcing this for weeks. And if you're here today and you don't know what's going on, it's either because you haven't been paying attention or you didn't get a chance to get the memo. But today is a day unlike any other day in the history of this church, because we've never been this far down the calendar of our age and of our time as we are today. Church family, we've never gathered together like this for this assembly of prayer. Today's a prayer meeting. Amen. And but to just do that, we have to give instruction, we have to give reason, we have to give purpose, frame it, because not everyone here today, let's be honest, not everybody here today understands prayer. Maybe they don't pray. Maybe there's people here today, they're religious, but they really don't know God personally. The level of your relationship to God is based upon intimacy. Listen, if you're married, intimacy is a must in your home. For husband and wife, it is not only commanded in Scripture, it is the closest thing in expression and reality between two personalities that God has given man. And intimacy protects, enshrines, and empowers a marriage to confront the world. Are you hearing me? And it galvanizes you against the evils of this world. In same manner, prayer is something that is natural in the marriage or the engagement that we have with Jesus Christ. The believer will pray because the believer must. And I personally believe that God is beginning at a season like this, and he's continuing on to separate the wheat from the chaff and to also instruct those who don't know how to communicate with him. Jesus warns us that in the last days and in the consummation of the age, he will come and he will say to those who say to him, have we not done all these wonderful works? And in your name we did them, Jesus. And Jesus will say to them, I've never known you. Depart from me. I don't even know who you are. And so in that, God is also preparing the age. He's not only preparing his church in the earth, he's preparing the age in which you and I live in. A little bit of housekeeping today on this special time, and that is, we're encouraging all of you, please, we're going to show you a QR code. We're going to ask you to scan this. So please get your phone out. This is a must. This is a must. For those of you who want to take prayer and develop a prayer life this next few weeks, we're asking you to do this. If you don't know how to do this, put your camera to phone mode, like you're going to take a picture, and focus on the QR code, and then a little bar will pop up, whatever your device is. It'll vary from device. I know Apple, it'll pop up, a little yellow key will pop up. Tap it. Here's the reason why. We're going to be using this for the next 21 days, starting tomorrow, as our time of daily devotionals in our time of fasting and prayer, starting tomorrow. And our good friend Rich and Tracy Alexander, some of you might remember Rich and Tracy Alexander. They were coming to this church when we had just gotten out of the living room of the house and we moved into the warehouse down the street. And Rich at the time, U.S. Marine captain, Tracy, always a prayer warrior, but they attended this church for many years, and they moved back east, and God led Tracy to author many prayer devotionals, and we are joining right now, starting tomorrow, Calvary Chapel, Knoxville, Tennessee, and Chino Hills are linking up together, but you don't have to go to these churches. Listen, those of you who are watching right now, scan that code. Why? Because we're going to start tomorrow going through a devotion together to pop up on your phone. It's going to be amazing. Do it. Do it. Don't miss it. And also this, we want to remind all of you starting tomorrow that in the West Wing building in room 201, that is to your right upstairs in the corner, we're going to have room 201 dedicated to prayer for anyone that can come for these next 21 days between 6 a.m. and 4 p.m. every day. We encourage you to do that. It's time for us to seek the Lord, church family, and like never before. And so today, please allow a lot of grace to be given from you to me today, because this is unscripted. I told Lisa this morning, leaving the house, I said, I don't know if I should wear my good shirt. This is a good shirt. Any untucked shirt. Everybody asked. They said, "What's Jack? Jack's got something on his shirt." It's a brand. But I went and I was going to go like this, and because the Bible says to rend our hearts, not our garments, because it's easy to tear your garment as some display of regret and repentance before God. God, it does not care one iota, one bit, if I rend my untucked shirt. Doesn't impress him. What he's looking for is you and I to rend our hearts. And so we're going to pray today. Don't worry, the prayer part's coming, but we've got to gear this up. We've got to prepare this. And one other thing. I was reminded by a dear sister of this church last night at a restaurant. I went to go pick something up for Lisa and I, and this woman asked a question, and I said, "Oh my gosh, yes." She asked the question if we were helping Israel, and I said, "Oh my goodness, yes," in a tremendous way, but we never talk about it. And then she goes, "Oh, I didn't know." I said, "You know, come to think of it, we never really announce what we're doing. I'm a big fan of Jesus saying, don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing." Jesus says, when you go to pray, don't be like the Pharisees who blow the trumpet and announce they're praying. Pray in secret. But I think I need to say something in this area. We are helping Israel like you cannot believe. And also this, we are... Yeah, and we're always going to do that as long as this church sticks to the Bible, that's what it's going to have to do. But then also, and this is a tough one for me, we're getting cries and pleas from people in the Carolinas, in the far region of East Tennessee, reaching out to us and saying, please let the world know. Can you guys please? We saw that you guys just hired Daniel Cohen for your Middle East news. Can you guys get someone here to tell the world the news? If I were today to tell you what is happening and what's not happening, regarding these hurricanes in the back east? First of all, you would not believe me if I told you. We'll talk about it some other time, but let me tell you this. If somebody asks you, is your church doing anything all the way there from California? I can tell you right now that as of today, this church has sent well over $1 million in relief effort. And we'll do what we can. But you need to pray for Franklin Graham. They've never seen anything like this. But make sure that when you give money, I'm asking you to give money to Samaritan's Purse. Don't give money to any other organization. And just so you know, if you give money to us for the relief effort, we give 100% of that to Samaritan's Purse. And so today we're going to be prompting our hearts and getting them ready for prayer. But before we do that, we've titled today, If My People. If My People. And you're thinking 2 Chronicles. And that's not what I'm thinking. No doubt, if time allows, we will read 2 Chronicles 7. But if my people, that's a big if. If my people. And I want to ask you this as we prepare our hearts. How often do you talk to your friends? If they're your friends, now I understand there's friends that we talk to all the time. There's friends that we work with. There's friends that live in our neighborhood. There are friends, and I know you appreciate this too. I have friends that we may not talk for 1, 2, 3, 5 years, and when we do talk, it's like we've never skipped a beat. There's variations of friends, but the conversations are always, always trending and will go deep. So the question is, how often do you talk to your friends? And what does often mean, by the way? That's between you and your friend. And what does talk mean? That's to be defined by you and your friend. And the question begs, who's your friend? Because in a relationship, it's different. That's the wonderful thing about friendships. You don't need many of them, by the way. I've got over 1 million friends on Facebook. And it says friends, but I don't think I know any of them. Who is your friend? Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. And I want to challenge you today as we prepare our hearts for the next 21 days, the intimacy that some of you are going to experience will completely change your lives if that's what you want. I'm asking God to cleanse this church. I'm asking God to cleanse the church in America, to make it real, to make it a real church. And Jesus says, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. And so we want to encourage that we talk often to our friend, and that when we do talk, it's a talk. We hear the word prayer and it seems to intimidate us. I believe that's satanic. Religion will have you be intimidated by prayer. Oh, you got to get on your knees. Oh, you've got to light a candle. Oh, you've got to face a certain direction. Oh, you've got to wear certain clothes. Oh, you've got to be a certain way. You've got to do certain things. Listen, that's sick. It's wrong. When the Bible tells us that God is waiting to hear from us at all times, and for the unbeliever, he's waiting to hear the words, I repent. And for the church, he's waiting to hear from us, Abba, Father. Prayer should be, as Charles Spurgeon said, like the lungs of the church. We breathe every day, don't we? And we never once think about it. It comes natural. And we need a change, everybody. We need a change. And our nation needs to change. When I say nation, first, I should say, the church within this nation. So I'm going to, listen, some of you have seen this before. I want you to listen carefully. I want you, you can close your eyes if you want. But as we prepare for this time, I want to replay for you a prayer and listen to it because it was so rejected. And I want you to listen as to why it was rejected. Find the reason why this was a horrible prayer. So put your eyes to the screens.
The house will be in order. The prayer will be offered by the guest chaplain, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, Chino, California.
Listen, please, judge it. Judge the prayer. I need you to.
Let's pray. Almighty God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, together we come before you in humility as a people in need of your forgiveness, your mercy, your goodness, and your grace. For these 250 so years, our fathers in this Congress have prayed for your guidance and protection. And so we stand here in humble petition that you today might do the same, that this nation and its unparalleled constitution, your great gift to all freedom-loving people, might be renewed here and across this land as a beacon of hope to all who seek peace. I ask you today, Father, to bring to us a great awakening of righteousness and confidence in you, who alone is mighty to save. Hear my cry in this hour of great need that we might be humbly blessed before you in the repentance of our national sins. You, Almighty God, are the source of all wisdom, and there is no wisdom but that which comes from you. So please come upon those here who are the stewards over the business of our nation with your wisdom, which comes from above, and with your holy fear, knowing that your coming day of judgment draws near, when all who have been and are now in authority will answer to you, the great judge of heaven and of earth, for the decisions that they make here in this place. I offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, and our crucified Savior and resurrected Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
So Billy Graham said that prayer is simply a two-way communication between you and God. That's true, simply that. Far too many people view prayer as an only break the glass moment, break the glass and pull the alarm moment. And I pray that from this day forward it will change in your life, that it will be part of your lungs and how you breathe. E.M. Bounds wrote, prayer is the very link that connects us to Almighty God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things do the unbelievers, the Gentiles, seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Notice the linkage between prayer and worry. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Day by day, we seek God in prayer. The great reformer Martin Luther wrote, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Wow. Our friend A.W. Tozer wrote, to desire revival and at the same time to neglect personal prayer and devotion is to wish one way and walk another. Pray hardest when it's hardest to pray. Again, Billy Graham wrote, We are to pray in times of adversity, lest we become faithless and unbelieving. We are to pray in times of prosperity, lest we become boastful and proud. We are to pray in times of danger, lest we become fearful and doubting. We are to pray in times of security, lest we become self-sufficient. That's a good prayer, and that's good advice by Billy Graham. We are a nation that has somehow been doped on self-sufficiency without God. We think that government is the answer. We think that the next election is the answer, or that somebody else is going to fix the issue. God has been showing the church one day after another, from month to month, to year, God has been waiting for the church to wake up and to seek Him in prayer. And in all of the trauma that our nation has gone through over these last maybe 20 years, I'm wondering just how much we really believe in prayer as a people. Charles Spurgeon says, true prayer is neither mere mental exercise nor vocal performance. It is far deeper than that. It is a spiritual transaction with the Creator of heaven and earth. I pray, I do not wish, I have God, not a genie. I like that. In John chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." The key is the Bible, to pray Bible. In this next 21 days, you are going to be linked together, all of us together, praying the Bible. And we're going to grow, and we're going to cry, and we're going to rejoice, and we're going to praise, and we're going to call out to God together. Though we might be separated by thousands of miles, who knows? We'll be on the same page together. And of course, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, that's the qualifier, then and only then, really, will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. There is no healing. Church, are you listening? There is no healing for our land unless God's people pray. And to that, he says, if. We are to rend our hearts and our minds in repentance. It is time now, today, to leave off the things that have plagued your walk, things that you've come to tolerate. It's time to leave them off from this time forward. We're moving on. There was a time in this campaign cycle, I think it's kind of evaporated, I'm happy to say, when we were hearing some time ago, vote for me, vote for us, vote for whatever, because the best is yet to come. And I think people are waiting. I don't hear that anymore from Kamala or from Donald. And that's probably a good thing. Maybe they don't sense it either. The best is not yet to come, or the best is not ahead unless you're a believer. Listen. For believers, heaven is our home. It's where we're going. For America, I don't know. I don't know. But keep this in mind as we prepare our hearts for prayer. Genesis 3:8 says, "And Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord." Think of this for a moment. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. What did that sound like? Well, we won't know until we see him, but Adam and Eve could hear the sound of God walking in the garden. And I don't know what it was like, but I know what I know it wasn't like this. I don't think God walked in the garden stomping. I think they heard God walking in the garden because there was maybe some sort of rustling of the leaves. There was some sort of divine effervescence, some glory, I don't know. But listen, they heard him. They heard his nearness. When we pray, we hear his nearness. We can sense him. Far too many times you've gone in your life and marriage and kids and family and parents, and you have felt as a believer alone. My friend, can I say, get to the garden. Get to the garden. Find that place, as we spoke about a few weeks ago. Get to that place and carve out that place to hear him walk again. To pray is to experience the nearness of God. And to not pray, well, to not pray, we see what happens. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and Eve, or Adam and his wife, I should say, Adam and his wife, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Oh my gosh, they hid themselves from the presence of God. The very opposite thing that you and I want, Adam and Eve went and hid from them. Listen, a lot of people hide from God. They go to church on Sunday, but they hide from God all week, and 23 hours out of the rest of that Sunday, they hide from God. Why? Because they're afraid that God might know what they're involved in. He already knows. Adam and Eve, they didn't want God to know what they were involved in. And so they hide. The human response is to hide and not talk to God. And I'm asking you today to trust God, if you're a believer, that he has forgiven you of your sins as you've repented of your sins. And listen, Satan will whisper in your ear, God doesn't want to hear from you. God doesn't want to hear your cry. God doesn't want to speak to you. I want you to know that is a lie from hell. No matter how young you are today or how old you are today, we're going to seek God like we've never sought God before. And it all starts with you deciding that personally in your life, and me as well. And the Bible goes on to say in Genesis, that verse 9, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Now, God knew where he was. But remember, they dressed themselves up in leaves. They were covered in leaves. Like on the Jolly Green Giant can. Remember that can? The Jolly Green Giant. That's what they looked like. They didn't have, listen, she didn't have little leaves right here and one right here, and he didn't have one right here. Like it's so, like something you see in a museum. You know, there's this sculpture and they're all naked except there's a perfect oak leaf right there. The Hebrew language suggests that when Adam and Eve sinned, they covered themselves in leaves. In my cartoon mind, I see their eyelids. They've got leaves on their eyelids that go like this just to be safe. We've got to hide from God. And when you're hiding from God, you're not praying. People who do not pray, listen, this is an exhortation. Christian, you call yourself a Christian. And listen, do you have an attitude, a mindset of pray? Do you pray God? Do you speak to him? You don't have to have a shrine. You don't have to have an alone place, though that's good. We ought to have an attitude of prayer. The Bible says to be praying always. That's an attitude of prayer. And when you have that attitude nurtured daily, God will speak to you. God will tell you things, and he'll show you things. And Adam responds and he says, we're hiding because we're naked. And God says, who told you you were naked? Isn't that interesting? Did Satan, by the way, if you know your Bible, did Satan say to Adam and Eve, wow, after you ate that fruit, you're sure naked? Did Satan say that? They disobeyed God, they were naked. Boom. And they were aware of it. Shame, guilt, grief. The last person on this planet that should experience those things should be the believer, in that only but for a moment. When we are grieved and when we are shamed, it's God convicting us of our sins to repent, to get back on course with him. So church family, before we pray, and we're going to pray. I'm going to give you the bad news first. I always want bad news first because I can begin to go to work on bad news. I don't care about the good news. The good news, I got that part. Are you with me?
Yes.
So I'm going to take a chapter of the Bible. I'm going to reverse it. God gives the good news first, and then at the end, he gives you the bad news. Well, the reason why I'm reversing it is because the order back then was a promise he was giving to Israel when they were just getting started. America has lived her life, and we've come to the end, and so we reverse it because it's more accurate now. Are you guys freezing? I see you guys. You guys brought blankets. You must know. Are you guys visiting? Is this your church? See, you bring blankets. So the bad news first. And allow me to make commentary. God said, "But it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God." Is our nation obeying the voice of the Lord our God? I prayed that prayer in Congress. It was a historic prayer. I used prayers before from 1740 to about 1780. And I fashioned those prayers together and I offered up that prayer in Congress. It was purely historical. It was pure Bible. It honored God and it even gave the gospel if you were listening. And for that, 26 members of Congress condemned me with an open letter that was published in rebuke of House Speaker Mike Johnson for allowing this lunatic to offer up the prayer. Do you understand? Listen, I don't take that personal. You know what they did? They indicted themselves. They heard a biblically based historic prayers offered up in that chamber centuries ago. And because of their ignorance and departure from God, our nation's leaders couldn't even recognize a bit of American history when it hit them right in the face. Amen. And in condemning that prayer, they condemned the Word of God. In condemning that prayer, they condemned biblical truth. In condemning that prayer, they condemned themselves. Out of their own mouth, Jesus said, "You will either be excused or condemned." To observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. This is what happens to a nation and to a people, for that matter, to a household who doesn't obey God. Cursed shall you be in the city. Are our cities cursed? No joke. We literally drive around our cities. We reprogram our maps to go around the cities. No one drives through Los Angeles. And I'm not saying this to be funny. No one drives, listen, nobody. When was the last time you drove to Oakland Airport? We had to get a flight out of Oakland Airport. We were told, get gas before you get to the city. Do not get out of your car. Oakland's gone. San Francisco's gone. God says, "I will curse your city if you disobey me and turn away from me. And cursed shall you be in the country." You can go to the middle of the desert and pitch a tent, have a campfire, and a murderer will show up in the night. How do you explain that? What's going on? Cursed shall you be, your basket and your kneading bowl, food supply. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body, pregnancy, and the produce of your land, and the increase of your cattle, and of the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion. Is America confused? Yes. America is not only biblically confused, America is willfully scientifically confused. America, listen, when John Adams says facts are stubborn things, that's anathema to our culture today. There are no facts anymore. It's what you feel. And if you go by what you feel, you will be confused. Because our feelings confuse us. Feelings have become a shrine, and we need to repent of our feelings. And so, rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your own doings, in which you have forsaken me. Ask yourself, has this nation forsaken him? Has the church in America forsaken him? Wokeism, stories in the pulpits today, no authority, word of God is gone, no rending of the heart, no call to fast and pray. Entertain me. Sing us a song. Let's play a game. Don't make me feel uneasy. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scorching, and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. And your heavens which are over your head shall be bronze. He's talking about when you pray, it's going to bounce right off the bronze. And the earth which is under you shall be iron. The Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust. From the heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. I shudder for our military right now. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. You shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. The Lord will strike you with boils of Egypt, with tumors and with scab, and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. Bizarre in a post-COVID world, the strange diseases and manifestations that are happening in our country. The Lord will strike you with madness, insanity, and blindness and confusion of heart. Verse 28, Deuteronomy 28, verse 28. It sounds like the newspaper today. And you shall grope at noonday, as a blind man gropes in the darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. I heard a news report yesterday that the Department of Justice said crime is down all across the United States. This is not a joke. You can go search that out, please. I'm not kidding you. You shall be engaged to a wife, but another man will sleep with her. You shall build a house, but you shall not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but shall not gather its grapes. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Your donkey shall be violently taken away from before you. Friends, we're talking about lawlessness. And shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies. And you shall have no one to rescue them. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people. A foreign people, technically. And your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all day long. And there shall be no strength in your hand. A nation whom you have not known shall eat the fruit of your land. Ask yourself, other than Bill Gates, what nation is buying up the bulk of the United States of America? What nation now controls the slaughterhouses of meat, beef, and poultry in the United States?
China.
If you know any farmers or ranchers, call them up and say, this idiot pastor today said that all of the meat processing plants that your cattle are taken to from your fields to be processed are owned by Chinese companies. And your farmer friend, your rancher friend will say, it's true. So a nation whom you've not known shall eat the fruit of your land and the produce of your labor, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually, so you shall be driven mad because of the sight which your eyes see. The Lord will bring you and the king whom you've set over you to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known. And there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone. And you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the nations where the Lord will drive you. You shall carry much seed out to the field, but gather little in. For the locust shall consume it. You shall plant vineyards and tend them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your territory. It's personal. Where is the greatest concentration of olive trees in America? I said America, not Israel's not, I know, Israel's not in America, and it's still the wrong answer. California, specifically Northern California. The olive trees of America, Northern California, Central and Northern California. Remarkable to me. But you shall not anoint yourself with oil, for your oils shall drop off, or your olives shall drop off. Verse 41, you shall beget sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. I wonder what that means. See, we think captivity where some country's going to lead them off, but could woke lead them off? Could gender confusion lead them off? Could Satan lying to them lead them off? Could the world lead them off? Locusts shall consume all your trees and the produce of your land. The alien, foreigner, the word in Hebrew is someone other than an Israeli. So we could say someone other than a Californian or someone other than an American who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, you shall be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed. The word is humbled. He doesn't mean necessarily killed, but brought low. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. And they shall call upon you, and they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder, and on your descendants forever. Why, we would ask? Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and in need of everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you will not understand. A nation of fierce countenance, which does not respect the elderly, nor show favor to the young. And they shall eat the increase of your livestock and the produce of your land until you are destroyed. They shall not leave you grain or new wine or oil or the increase of your cattle or the offspring of your flocks until they have destroyed you. They shall besiege you at all your borders. until your high and fortified walls in which you trust come down throughout all your land, and they shall besiege you at all of your borders throughout all your land which the Lord your God has given you. You shall eat the fruit of your own body. Yeah, you know what? This next stuff is too much for me to read. I can't, I'm not gonna, you can read it later. It's talking about it getting so bad that because Israel forsook God, and any nation that forsakes God can be judged by God to the point where it says here, they eat their own young. Can we just skip? Let's go to the next one. If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sicknesses. Moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. You shall be left few in number, whereas as the stars of the heaven and the multitude, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And it shall be that just as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to nothing. And you shall be plucked from off the land which you go to possess. My goodness. I think you get the picture. I'm sickened. I don't want to go anymore. Can we take a moment and then we'll start up again? Can we take a moment right now to pray? Listen, for those of you who don't know, the youth are here with us today. Reason why the youth pastors, God bless them. We have the best, seriously, the absolute best. They said, listen, we want our kids in there that they will learn how to pray. And that, listen, there's no young or old when it comes to prayer. But I'll interrupt you, but let's give a moment right now to cry out to God with what we've just read. The similarities, if you don't see the similarities to the United States of America, to what God warned Israel about, there's a blindness then upon you if you don't see this. There's nobody here to judge your prayer. No, you're not praying to anybody. You're praying to God. If you pray loud and unto the Lord, the Bible says when you come and pray before him, let your words be few. This is not a time to catch up for all the years you didn't pray. But if God has put something on your heart, pray it quick, pray it loud, and we'll move on to the next person. But all of us should be listening. Lord, hear our prayer. Yes, Lord.
Lord, strengthen my family in this time of turmoil. Father, tear down the strongholds in Washington and Sacramento and Russia.
Father, show us mercy.
Lord, you are long suffering, compassionate, and merciful.
Please be with us. Mercy. Father, hear you, Father God, of your long suffering.
Listen, I want to encourage you guys. Everything that you're praying, it's great. It's great. But here's the thing. We're asking him to do things, but my question to him, to you, is he even listening to us right now? You know, you want to know why I'm asking? Is because individual repentance in our heart right now. We're asking him to rescue the unborn. We're asking you to save our country. We're asking him to help our husband to come home. These children are waiting for him. But God does not hear prayer, even from his own kids, if there's sin that has separated us from him. He won't listen. He won't hear it. The Bible says he won't listen to it. So God, I pray that you would forgive us of our lack of love for you, my lack of love for you. And I ask you to forgive me, Lord, for being so busy that I don't sit with you long enough. Forgive me, Lord, of being like Martha rather than a Mary.
Holy Spirit, come upon us, Lord Jesus. Stir the hearts of this country, of the president that trembled, fall on his knees like Jack said, and he will raise his hands and say, I repent and I turn to Jesus. And I pray that our country does look upon Jesus, because he is the only one who will save us from this horrible world, and we'll have eternal life with him. And I just pray, Lord, that you heal our land and turn our hearts, stir the Holy Spirit within us, personally and outwardly. I just pray this in your holy name, Jesus.
That's it. Everybody listen. As in a moment, like a count of three, every single one of us, if we just start praying out loud, you can do it. If we all pray out loud together, nobody will hear anybody else. But God's not a human, thank God. He can hear every one of us individually. So we are now in the house of prayer. We are now his people, a holy convocation. And I'm asking you, Lord, that you would, in a moment, hear the prayer of all of us collectively as a profound act of intercession, and yet you might hear our prayer. Hear us, Lord, as we come to you as one person. Though we all may pray, may we come before your throne as one. Church family, let's pray together for a moment, together now, before the Lord in his holy name. Do you have a mother or a father? Can you pray out loud now for your mother and for your father? Their salvation, their health. Do you have a child? A grandchild that needs Christ, that needs healing, that needs love, that needs God's grace. Lift them up, church, before the throne. Lift them up by name. Do you have a husband to lift up before the throne of God? Let your voice be heard. Intercede for your husband. Cry out to the Lord for your wife. Does she know the Lord? Does she love Jesus? Does she need a healing touch? Cry out before the Lord for your wife. Father, we pray these things in your name. Now the good news. Same chapter. Deuteronomy 28. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obeyed the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. In other words, your economy. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses. I just heard recently that America, each individual city of America, has 3 days food supply in their grocery stores in the entire United States. Our storehouses have 3 day supply. And in all to which you set your hand, he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and to walk in his ways. Then all peoples or nations of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord God. And the Lord shall be, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods. Does that not describe America's blessings of past? In the fruit of your body, and in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground. California was once the number one producer of all these things. In the land in which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its seasons and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. No such thing as leading from behind. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. Deuteronomy chapter 28, and I left out a couple of paragraphs that are too graphic. You can read it in its entirety if you so desire. The truth of the matter is, church family, we have been coasting on the prayers and on the labor of those who have gone before us. And it's over. It has, the steam has not only stopped, the boiler has grown cold. And the inertia or the momentum has now brought the train to a stop. Our nation is untethered from God. The world is crying out and looking to us, and they're terrified by what they see. Our homes are falling apart. As a culture, even within the church, it appears that somebody can't keep their eyes off of somebody else's husband or wife. And now it's being manifested in the pulpits across America. Why? These things must be. For Jesus is getting his bride prepared. Jesus said, everything that can be shaken shall be shaken, and only that which can remain shall remain. Judgment must first begin at the house of the Lord, the Bible says. And we need to be a people who wake up out of our entertainment mode when it comes to Almighty God. I'm telling you right now, I'm not a prophet, but I'm telling you, you will live and you will see the day of shaking. It is not far off. And if you have had up until this moment recreational Christianity, you're going to lose it all. There may be some of us in this room, I pray from my own heart, that will do anything and everything to obey God, no matter if it costs us our lives. And that just might be where we're going. I know people who have communicated to me privately. They have taken such a stand, they have been out there on the edge, that if this election goes a certain way, they actually have countries that they have already pre-planned to move to, because they'll be arrested if they go straight to the airport. You say, that'll never happen. Germany thought it would never happen either. But there will be those, I think the bulk, who will continue to pray for this nation, to ask God to forgive this nation and to heal our land. But church family, Gavin Newsom doesn't need to pray. Kamala Harris and Donald Trump and Tim Walz and J.D. Vance, I don't know, who else is out there? They don't need to pray. God is saying to this church, here, you need to pray. There is no way that God is going to allow himself to be ignored any longer. It is so obvious to me. He will not be ignored anymore. God, listen. You saw what's happened in the Carolinas and now Florida. I don't believe God sent that stuff. I know this much about the Bible. When a storm arose, The Bible says Jesus stood up and he rebuked the storm and it was made still. It was, we know from Scripture and the Gospels, Satan would create a storm to destroy the disciples, and Jesus actually rebuked Satan and stopped the storm. God didn't send destruction to the Carolinas. You know what happened? I fear that we're starting to live Deuteronomy 28. We told God to get out. At first, he didn't listen. He just hung in there with us. And then we demanded that he get out. We get your Bible out of our class because we want to teach our kids pornography. That's our new religion. Sex. Perversion. And we're in control, not you, God. We, the debased reprobates, will make the decision of what a child is taught and indoctrinated with. And you say, isn't that horrible? It's not horrible enough, apparently. Because where are God's people? Where is your vote? Where is your voice? We have tolerated it. And we've done it for decades. And this nation is in the situation that it is in. I'm telling before service, we're talking about this very truth. This nation is in the condition that it is in because the church has allowed it so. Did you know back in 1970, the context of the conversation was in 1973 when the Supreme Court voted for abortion and Roe v. Wade. Do you understand that if there would have been at least 1 million actual Christians in America, then 1 million, that's not many people. Back then, I'm guessing, 73, maybe 200 million, 250 million people lived here. 80% claimed to be Christian. What if 1 million Christians stood up and said, nope, bad law, not accepting it. We're going to change this by the Constitution that gives us the rights. We're going to have these judges either impeached. You can impeach a judge, did you know that? Or we're going to pass a bill and we're going to fix this. We're going to protect the rights of the unborn child. Just 1 million people. That's nothing. But we didn't do that. Where's the outcry about human trafficking? Where's the outcry about gender mutilation of children being conducted by people who hate you? They actually hate you. That in these United States, your kids got to get your permission to get their ears pierced. You know, it's against the law to have an ear piercing on public school grounds. Did you know that? You cannot show up if you're piercing ears. You cannot pierce ears on a public school without parental consent. But the school, without your knowledge, will call an Uber and have your child taken to an abortion clinic and have an abortion, and your kid comes home feeling sick that evening, and you never knew it. That is the law. And we don't want to know it. I have to end. But that simply means that we start our prayer. Church family, remember this. David said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. Church family, remember this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Remember that. I'm going to ask you to stand. I said something a couple weeks ago, and it went over exactly as I had hoped it would. And what I said was this: if you think for 1 minute that the election is going to make things better, you have fooled yourselves. Let me finish. I'll give you some marching orders, but listen, do you think the God of the universe would need Kamala Harris or Donald Trump to help him fix this country? Do you understand that the God of the universe can snap his fingers if we cried out to him in repentance? He would heal things in a second. And let me ask you this. What would more glorify God? That if Kamala Harris got into office and wound up meeting Jesus Christ? Or Donald Trump getting into office and people saying, oh, okay, now we can get back to those low interest rates. Now we can get back to those low gas prices. Now we can bring inflation back down under 2%. If you were God, which one would you pick? Which one would you do? Think about it. Look, I'm voting for Trump. Do you understand that? Because I understand something. There's enough people that he surrounds himself with that are really good people. And some of them are born-again believers. I cannot vote for the other because, listen, as long as her mouth's moving, she's lying. She lied to us. We know, excuse me, those of you who are watching right now, we're in California. We sent her to you. We got her out of here. So now she's going to do it to the entire nation. Let me tell you something right now. She will say, I never said that. And all the lemmings will go, oh, that's great. She said it. I never did that. She did it, but she says she didn't. And all the lemmings go, she didn't do that. People want to believe what they want to believe. The Christian is to obey him. And church family, that's what we must do. You must vote. And by the way, you know, today's first day of ballot collection here. Did you know that? Every Sunday, bring your ballot. You can drive up, drop your ballot. You can bring your ballot in, all of that. We're a ballot collection station. Voting starts today. But here's the deal. Vote for the candidates that under their leadership, less babies will die. That's where we start. Dear God, let's lift our hands. Dear God in heaven, have mercy upon our nation, O God. O God of heaven and earth, King, you're not threatened by anything that this nation decides to do or not do. But we're asking you, Lord, while we're here, we are called by your name. And we're asking you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would bring the answer from heaven through your house, the church. That, God, that you would install elected officials that would be like chess pieces in your hand, that you can move them, that they're willing, that they're open to be used by you. Father, we pray that there would be a radical, overwhelming, divine intervention in our elections in this nation. We beg of you, Father God. But Lord, we will accept the outcome, no matter what, from your hand. You will give a nation the leaders that it deserves as a nation. We will accept your sovereign hand. But before that time comes, we pray for mercy, O God. Mercy, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's end with this song of closing. God bless you.